Good evening. The show begins in Gaza. The report that the IDF is using seawater pumped into the tunnels to drive the Hamas gangsters out of their tunnels to surrender. This is understood in conversation with Colonel Jeff McCausland as a way to minimize the IDF casualties and move the Hamas out without gunfire, without more death to Hamas, whatever their fate. We also mentioned that on the 200th anniversary of the Monroe Doctrine, Venezuela is annexing 75% of Guyana, its neighbor, in order to grab the oil. And the question is, what's going to be done about this? Another annexation by a bully power to a neighbor. Ponzi scheme. 15 years since Bernie Madoff revealed with the 2008 crash. He's gone. He died at the age of 82 in 2021. His wife is living somewhere in Connecticut. One of his sons committed suicide. The other son, to my knowledge, is still with us. It's a catastrophe. At the sentencing, very sadly, Madoff was obliged to face the fact that he'd not only damaged his life, he damaged the lives of his whole family, innocent people, children, grandchildren. This connects to the present because Bernie Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme. A younger version of Bernie Madoff, Sam Bankman-Fried, ran a Ponzi scheme. Money in to cover the money out. We've learned nothing in 15 years, but it's good to remember. Simon and I recount this was when Simon and I first met during the crash of 2008. He was working at the Wall Street Journal. I was working at WABC in New York. Anti-Semitism. That is a focus for a conversation about anti-Semitism with Victor Davis Hanson. In high schools, in elite campuses, and after watching the testimony or remarks or answers from three significant college presidents, MIT, Harvard, and Penn, it's hard not to come to the conclusion that campuses do not understand common sense about anti-Semitism being dangerous, dangerous to the Jewish students who are intimidated or threatened or damaged by it, dangerous to the young people on campus who are encouraged to promote anti-Semitism, thinking that they're doing something, I don't know, rationalizing it in some fashion. Victor Davis Hanson and I also discuss how the UN has failed to condemn Hamas, and Victor's recommendation is that the UN needs to find a new home in the third world, or the developing world, or the world that continually votes against Israel, and a League of Democracies would be better suited for 42nd Street, the East River, and New York City. And then a conversation with Gordon Chang and Ann Stevenson Yang about the Chinese economy, for which there is no solution. The property bubble has collapsed. The unemployment is climbing. Xi Jinping does not have answers. It's a bad business plan, and it's only getting worse. Taiwan is looking to have an election in the middle of January, a conversation with Charles Burton, who's in Taiwan, about the confusion of the candidates. There are two major factions, but one of the factions, the opposition, fragmented into two pieces, and people are making contradictory statements. It does appear at this point it's unpredictable what's going to happen, and the mainland is looking to interfere in some fashion, to be continued. And then a fun time with Professor Emily Wilson of the University of Pennsylvania and her new translation of the Iliad. This is the first of 2 hours. The Iliad rendered in English in iambic pentameter, Shakespeare's in iambic pentameter, making it much easier for us to hear and to read aloud and to listen to. I recommend the audible.com book to be read to you as you follow along on the page. It's a melodrama. Paris convinces, steals, abducts, seduces Helen away from her home with Menelaus and Sparta. the Greeks raise a war cry, and after 10 years are still exhausting everyone by fighting the Trojans outside the walls of Troy. Achilles, the greatest warrior of all, is in a fit because Menelaus has demanded or taken a war bride from Achilles and ordered this to happen without respecting Achilles, who's known as a great cattle robber, a great warrior. This feud represents a lot of the pettiness of the Greeks as they are frustrated by attacking the Trojans. On the Trojan side, they're being interfered with by the gods who are watching all of this and manipulating the battlefield. It goes on like this for 1,000 pages. It's great fun. I recommend it. By the way, this version, the Iliad, the original, this does not end with the horse. The horse is the Latin version, the later version. This just ends with a series of funerals and games to resolve the conflict in some fashion that was never resolved on the battlefield. We do know that Troy will be destroyed. We do know that it will be burned. We do know that all the men will be slain. We do know that all the women will be abducted again, including Helen. But this Iliad, the translation, doesn't end with that. It points to it. It intimates that it's going to happen. You just don't get the drama. That's off stage. And then a conversation with Gordon Chang and Jonathan Ward about the supply chain moving to India and other countries away from China, especially Apple's supply chain, which is heavily invested in China, where, I hear, more and more people are being told, ordered not to use iPhones, to put away their iPhones or to bury them or to break them, to use Huawei only. This is orders to, so far, those working for the Chinese government. But there's reason to believe it'll be expanded throughout the country. And so the iPhone will become contraband, black market stuff, under the covers. Xi Jinping is a very unpredictable and trite figure who's also a brute. SpaceX celebrating the fact that they've been hired by Amazon to launch satellites of a satellite constellation that allows communication on Earth, similar to Starlink. Amazon, which is owned by the Musk stock, Blue Origin, which is owned by Musk, Blue Origin has failed to provide a rocket engine in time for Amazon to launch its constellation. And so they've hired SpaceX. They all work together. Good for them. And then Bob Zimmerman counts sunspots. There are many, many sunspots right now. Bob makes the point that we almost know nothing about why the sun does what it does. Minimums, maximums, every 11 years. The sun is magical. It's critical. Without the sun, we would not be here, but we don't understand it. Thank you for listening.